I'm ready. Are you ready? Happy birthday. Could you turn to the person next to you and tell them happy birthday? Today is the most important birthday celebration ever. It's actually more important than your birthday. Today is the birthday of the church. Did you know that? Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's one of the most important days in the church. Did you almost miss it? It actually is pivotal for your life, Pentecost Sunday. Absolutely. And this birthday opens wide every possibility to you, the people of God. Pentecost Sunday does that for you. It's a wow moment. You see, you and I, are the church. So it's our birthday. It really is an important day. It's the day when the church became empowered. Do you understand that? We became empowered. God gave us the same gift that Jesus possessed through his whole ministry. You see, Jesus sent another like himself to us, the Holy Spirit. And the community of believers that were gathered in the upper room that day on Pentecost Sunday, or Pentecost Day, I won't call it Sunday, it was a fateful day for them, an incredible day, the birth of the church, and they were never the same, and they were forever changed. I want you to see what happened that day in Acts 2, 1 through 4. It said, when the day of Pentecost had come, fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. Are we all in accord in one place this morning? We're all in this place together, right? And suddenly there was a sound from heaven. And they don't know how to describe it, so they go like as a mighty rushing wind. So their sound came into the meeting room where they were at. And it filled the whole house. The sound filled the whole house. What would it take for the sound to fill this whole house? Would you like to hear that sound this morning? I would. And then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire upon each of them. And they were all, I love that, all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was an incredible day in history called Pentecost, and it's a reminder that the kingdom is being built through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's Him at work, church. The Holy Spirit is the one at work. So I find it fascinating. You know, as I was studying this message, I was in awe at how God works. He doesn't do anything small. And I'm hoping that you can see what I see as I share this message with you. So in Acts 2, did you know that that was not the first Pentecost? Anybody know that? Did you know that Pentecost is one of seven festivals that God called people to celebrate? And three of these festivals were called gathering festivals because they had to come together. They came to Jerusalem, or they gathered wherever they were gathering. But this was one of the festivals. And sometimes it was a unique feast because it was 7 weeks after Passover. And then Sunday, or the next day. And it became 50 days. That's why Pentecost is called Pentecost, because Penta means 50. Easy, right? And it was usually in June, and it was at the end of the barley season before the wheat season. And today this festival is, by the Jewish people, is called, let's see if I can get this right, Shavuot, That's what it's called. Can you say that? There you go. It was a celebration of the first fruits of the wheat. Remember that word, first fruits. It was a celebration of the first fruits of the wheat. And when they brought it to God, they were showing God their total dependence on Him for everything they needed materially, everything they needed in their life. They were bringing it to Him, and it was saying, hey, God, in order to survive, in order to live, in order to have what we need, You're the way. It's You. It's in You. It was a great day of Thanksgiving. And it's fascinating to me that it's the only festival of the Jewish people that both Christians and Jews celebrate. I find that interesting. So the Jewish people believe that Pentecost was first celebrated when God brought the law to His people on Mount Sinai. And that same day, that Pentecost day, Christians celebrate the birth of the church and the writing of God's law in our hearts. I want you to look at Jeremiah 31, 33. Jeremiah, years before Pentecost happened, he wrote this, and I believe he wrote this longingly, with looking forward to what God was going to do. He says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. He said, I'm going to put my laws in their minds, and I'm going to write it on their hearts. And then the most profound statement of all, I will be their God and they will be my people. He wrote it on our heart. It's no longer the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on it. He speaks to us and He writes it in our hearts and in our minds. Oh, His plan is good. It's so good. Pentecost Day is where the people of God walked in this brand new covenant. You know, the better covenant based on better promises. And we, this church, the church of today, we get to participate with that. We get to have the better promises. We get to see things that they long to see. Pentecost brought such change to us. And sometimes we live like it did nothing for us. And we have to wake up and understand what God the Father, in giving us the Holy Spirit and it coming and filling our lives, how it shifts and changes things for us. We don't have to live like we've always lived. We don't have to be enslaved. We can be free. We can be empowered to do all that He wants us to do. So I find it fascinating that there's a big similarity. I read to you what happened in the upper room in the book of Acts, right? You heard all the different things that happened. Well, I want you to see what happened on the mountain when God came to His people. I want you to notice how the two events are similar and how they happened. And I want you to know something. God's purpose in both of them was the same. And it's still the same this morning. God, the creator of the universe, He wants you to know Him. What He does because He wants you to know Him. Really know Him. He actually wants you to experience Him. It isn't just words and thoughts and a form. It isn't a form of godliness. That's not what it is all about. It's about a living relationship with Him. It's about our hearts and Him. So I want to back up for a minute because I missed something I want you to see, and it's important. So God speaks to Moses, and He gives an incredible opportunity to the people that He brought out of Egypt from slavery. He comes to them with this opportunity, and He declares two things over them. They're fascinating. Number one is He says that they're His special treasure. And the second thing He says, they're going to be a kingdom of priests. to fully understand that, you have to understand that the priests could only ones that could go before God. But he's calling them as a people to become a kingdom of priests. And so, if you look at Exodus 19, 5 and 6, it says this, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me, to God, you shall be to God a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And so there was this, I want you to hold on to that thought for a minute, and we're going to go down further in the chapter. And God calls for a gathering. He says, "I want everyone to come." And so they did preparation. They washed their clothes, and they all got ready, and they came. And I want you to see what happens. I want you to notice what happens in this passage in Exodus 19, starting in verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thundering and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." Do you hear the loud sound? Do you see that written again, this loud sound? "And Moses brought the people out to the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And the mountain was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it with fire." So I want you to picture yourself there. You're at a mountain, and you're standing there. And there's loud, it's loud. And there's thunder, and there's lightning. And fire comes down upon the mountain. And its smoke ascended like a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. That'd have been something to be a part of, would it not? "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke." And then listen, it says, "And God answered him by voice." Can you imagine what that moment would have been like? Everything they knew about God, everything the people knew about, had been told them by someone. That's what they knew about God, is from someone else. But here, God was speaking to them directly with his voice. He wanted them to know him, to be in relationship with him. He wanted them to experience his presence. And so there God speaks to them, and this incredible opportunity is before them. And I want you to see what the people's response was. If you go to the next chapter, in chapter 20 of Exodus, about verse 18, it says, "Now all the people had witnessed the thunderings and lightning flashes, all the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood far off," afar off. "And then they said to Moses," they said, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." The people didn't want God to speak to them. Out of their own fears and inadequacies, they basically said, "No, let us hear from someone else. Let them tell us what God's saying." They turned down an invitation God was offering. He said, "I want you to be my special treasure, and I want you to be my priests." And they said, "No." And I can't imagine how God's heart must have felt in that moment. And I want you to think about that invitation God put out. Because God calls to each of us. Almost weekly we hear things God is calling to different ones of you. Asking you, this morning we heard about come forward, or I've forgotten what that was. To Randy, come forward. You know, we hear invitations God's making. And the invitation to be his priest, to be his priest, is still available. He's still calling to us. It didn't end there. They said, "No, but it's still out there. I want you to look at Revelation 1. It says in verse 5b, it says, all glory to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Did you hear that? He set us free from sin because of his blood. And then he says, he has made us a kingdom of priests for God, his Father. All glory and power to be him forever and ever. He's made us to be a kingdom of priests. We're called to be a priest. What does that mean? That means you come into his presence and you talk to him. Really simple. All you have to do is come into his presence and he's calling to you saying, I love conversation with you. I actually delight in conversation with you. I want to be with you. That's his heart. And he presents opportunities. And every time he presents an opportunity, guess what? We have to choose what we're going to do. Every time. So do we let our fears and inadequacies stop us from partaking of what God speaks over us, like the people did around that mountain? Yes, it must have been terrifying, but sometimes I hear God speak things to us and I'm terrified by it. What does that mean? What does that look like? How could it be? How could I do that? I couldn't do that. How would that be possible? Have you ever heard yourself say that? I have. Sometimes he speaks and it causes us to draw back from him rather than to run into his embrace. Oh, that we might understand the very heart of God for us this day. Might we run towards the invitations he sends out. See, because God is longing for relationship. He wants you. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Could you see some of those same things happening in that upper room that you saw on the mountain? There was loud sounds and there was fire and there was all kinds of things going on in that room that day, and wind. And you have to understand something. Those are symbols of his presence. Did you know that smoke and fire and wind are all symbols of his presence? Even if, remember Moses in the burning bush, he came to him in fire. If you start looking through the Bible and looking at the stories, how many times wind and fire and smoke are involved in the stories. It's his presence, is his longing for you. That's really what it's about. The birth of the church, that day of Pentecost, it came with flames on the head. There was sound from heaven so loud it brought people from across town. That had to be pretty loud. A new experience in God. And he poured it out, his very spirit on his people. He poured out his spirit on them. Consider the magnitude of that thought. The very spirit of God into his people. It makes me tremble. The very spirit of God into me. What? A plan God determined. What he set in motion for you. So once again, God is offering of himself something so superior to anything God had done before. He said, okay, they can't do it on their own. They're not going to make it. But I'm going to make it so they can make it. I'm going to give them just what they need so that they can do it. And it was a new covenant that Jeremiah said, that writing it on our hearts, being inside of us. Can you feel the very heart and invitation of God in this moment? I thought it was fascinating. If you read about this account in the book of Hebrews, I want to share it with you because you need to get hold of this. In Hebrews 12:18, it says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind as the Israelites did. For they heard an awesome blast, trumpet blast, and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. And then if you go down a couple verses, it says, no, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering, He's saying, my calling to you, what I'm drawing you, I'm speaking to you, I'm saying, come. It's good. It's full of joy. It's wondrous what I have for you. I love that Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Did you know Jesus asked him? He says, I asked the Father in John. There's 14, 15, 16, and 17 in those chapters. It's so much about Jesus and talking about the Holy Spirit. He sent the one that would come and never leave us. There's few people that you can count on that will never leave. You know, I thought I counted on my parents and they left me. Drat. It's hard. He never leaves. It doesn't matter what you do. He doesn't leave. Do you understand that? He sent the one that would come and would fill you to capacity, and he would not leave. What an offer. He, the Holy Spirit, would make us able to do the things that we can't do ourselves. That's incredible. It's mind-blowing. Do you have any idea how many weaknesses I have? I couldn't even get up in the back of the pickup truck yesterday. I tried. I didn't have enough strength to get myself up in there. I was like, and my sister, of course, my sister Sandy just hopped right up there. Anyway, side issue. There's lots of things we can't do as people. There's lots of inadequacies. And I don't care who you are, you will have them. You have places of inadequacy. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent him that he would fill up those places of inadequacy, that nothing would be impossible to you because of the Spirit of God within you. He comes in with you and he joined to you and he makes you able to do what you couldn't do before. That's mind-blowing. It's beautiful. It's actually gripping. What an offer. And just like the Jewish people brought their gifts to the Festival of Weeks, where they showed their dependency on him, we have a job to do. We have to lay down all of our self-dependency. You see, because we think we're pretty hot stuff, that we can do everything ourselves. We don't think we need help. And I'm telling you, church, we need help. Lots of it. All of us do. Every one of us need help. And we have to lay that thought of self down. We have to remember what Galatians 2 says. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it says. It also tells us in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. It's in him, church, that we live. It's him that makes us able to move. In him we have our being. Our hearts need to fully grasp that without him we can do nothing. But it goes beyond that. Jesus sent one like himself to live in us. You all want to be with Jesus. You all want to sit with him. You all want to touch him. You want to talk to him. And he sent one like him to us. And he lives in us. And everything he carries is what Jesus had. Do you know that Jesus only did what he did because of the Holy Spirit? Do you understand that? That he leaned into the Holy Spirit? It's how the miracles happened. It's how he lived sinless. It's how he was free from all entanglement. Because he leaned into the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he sends the Holy Spirit so that we have that same ability to live free. To live in his power and his abilities. Yeah. He's the one that empowers the church to be Jesus wherever you go. you can't represent Jesus well on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You're called to be Jesus, church. Did you know that? You're called to be Jesus everywhere you go. You're called to walk like him, talk like him, and think like him. And the scripture says that we have the mind of Christ. So don't fight me on that. Think like him, because you can have the mind of Christ. It's available. The Spirit is available. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 and 15, it says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Do you believe that? And through you, say me, it's me. Through you, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. In other words, everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit in you, you give off the fragrance of Christ, and it's drawing, and people want what you have, and they want what you carry, and they want to be like you because you look like him and act like him and talk like him. If you're not aligning with that, if you are not being Christ, then you need a new, fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit to fill you to capacity. You need him to come in and get rid of all the stuff that holds you back. So there's this offer before us this morning. It's actually an incredible invitation. And it was given on the day of Pentecost. Receive the gift offered by the Holy Spirit. And there's a fresh filling all the time, church. A fresh filling. I can have a fresh filling in this moment. I can have it today. You can have it in a minute. You can have it in an hour. It's available. God wants you to experience the power and presence of his Holy Spirit in your life. But like any gift you get, any gift, you have to choose what you want to do with it. It's up to us. You need the Holy Spirit because Jesus needed him on the earth. And if we're to be like Jesus and do the things that he did, we need to let go of ourself and lean into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He's our wisdom. He brings the gifts. He brings the fruit. He never leaves us. What a gift that Jesus sent through the Father to us. It's incredible. It's actually incredible. It's actually wow, wow, wow. Today, Pentecost Sunday, is a great day to receive the Holy Spirit if you've never had him before. He's longing to fill you. All you have to do is ask him to come to fill you to overflowing. Maybe some of us need to ask for a fresh baptism of his Spirit. On this birthday of the church, let's commit our lives to living in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to lead you into all truth. Embrace the gifts and the fruit he carries through him. Become an encounter to everyone you meet. Be empowered this day. Amen, church? Amen. So this morning, would you stand? Jim, would you play? This morning to extend an invitation. I'm going to ask Becca and Steve to stand up here and maybe Mike over here. And this morning, if you've never experienced salvation, you've never had that chance to say, "Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior," today is your day. Today is your day. I want you to come. Run to the altar because he wants to meet you. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, today's your day. There's people that will lead you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you need a fresh infilling, today's your day. So as they lead us in a song, Will you come, church? Will you come?